Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Second hour of KJ Lyons on WEEI, 617-779-7937. Still to come, keywords, Nate Purchase, Boston Hotel Strike, the Woo Sox, 69 Guard, Marlboro and Shrewsbury Mass, and the Lions Den. That's Gerard Mayo saying, hey, it's all on me. Let's go to Walter in Worcester. Thank you so much, Walter, for calling. You're on WEEI.
Hey, guys. Hope you're enjoying the Labor Day weekend. And that great rejoin music, by the way. Love the Squire.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Wesley's own.
Listen, I know maybe there's an inclination to want to protect this guy, our coach, our new Patriots coach. But to say that some of this is his fault, all of this is his fault. Gerard Mayo is trying to make a hybrid of himself and Bill Belichick, and it ain't working. He shot his mouth off when he shouldn't. We started at the very beginning when he said they're going to burn cash. Wrong. The guy doesn't know when to keep his mouth shut, and he caused this quarterback controversy. There was no controversy. He created it all for himself, and then he's trying to go back and forth. It's our decision. It's their decision. It's my decision. It's who knows whose decision it is now. So I blame it all on Gerard Mayo. I believe that Drake May, I didn't think Drake May should start at the beginning, but I became a Drake May believer and thought he should start, and I think the way he's handled this has been all wrong.
Walter, thanks for the call. John?
So I wouldn't blame 100% on Mayo, but some of what Walter's saying is what I was getting at earlier, in that the issue, like the final decision to start Brissett, is one I agree with and I think is best for the team. Just some of the mixed messaging to get us here, even like when Mayo said it's a competition, but I was at some training camp practices and I'm like, well, May's only going with all the backups, so is it really a competition? And then it was like, Jacoby's our starter. And then it's, so that's the thing. Like, again, I think they made the right decision here. I think it's just, there was some mixed messaging along the way. And a lot of that, again, he's a rookie head coach. I mean, I know we don't do sports radio in New York, but I'm sure Brian Daboll's first year with the Giants, there was mixed messaging, you know, and there was issues there. I'm sure it happened with Sean McDermott in Buffalo. Like, it happens when someone is a new head coach. And I think that's been a little bit frustrating at times. But I also, like, the caller's like, oh, I put all the blame on him for some of this. I don't put 100% on him, because there is Elliott Wolff's involvement. There is the Kraft's involvement in this whole process of moving on from Bill. And, I mean, Mayo's not the one who didn't sign a good left tackle in free agency. Not that there weren't that many available, but, like, he's not the one who said, oh, I want a Corafor instead of Jonah Williams, or I want to go with Vidarian Lowe instead of Jonah Williams. So
So here's what's interesting, and it would burn cash, right?
Yeah, like that was a mistake.
Well, but here's the thing. Well, but they attempted to. Ayuk said no, and they were willing to overpay him. Calvin Ridley said no, right? And then you heard, what did Belichick just say last week? Producer Jacob, did I send you the sound of Godchow and Keon White talking about the tax? Tell us over the air.
No.
Okay, I didn't send it to you.
I remember. I heard that, though. I know what you're talking about.
So they talk about how Belichick mentioned on NFL, what is it, NFL?
He was on the McAfee show.
Okay, he was on the McAfee show, and he's talking about Taxachusetts and how much you get taxed and how much you get taxed upon the tax. And then there's the millionaire's tax, and then Godchow and Keon White were talking about this. And this is going to feed into how you may want to burn cash, but guys don't want to burn their cash coming to play here when you've got places like Tennessee and Florida that have either no, or Texas, where they have no tax. So you're like, hey, look what they're doing in Houston. I would say, hey, look, they're in Houston. There's no taxes there. So when you're talking about trying to get top level free agents, they also have to say, you're going to have to pay me more than what I'm probably valued at just for me to get close to what I'm supposed to get because of the tax structure in the state. So there's some things that are bigger than the team that you can't say, well, I put this on Wolf and Mayo, when they're not the ones that write the taxes.
Well, and I think, though, the burn cash thing was something where that would have been a situation a more experienced coach would have under-promised and over-delivered, right? He would have said, oh, we're going to try to be aggressive. We're going to try to go out there in the market and then they would have done whatever they did. Because if you actually look at it.
If we try to burn cash, would that have been better?
No, I think just using that phrase was not smart. But
we're going to try to burn cash means that we're going to make an attempt to go after people. And they did that.
If you look at, and they actually did spend a lot of money this offseason, but it was mostly on re-signing their own guys. But they did, I mean, they did spend more money than I think people give them credit for.
But you would think that burn cash means on other people who are not here.
Exactly, right. And that's why, again, I think the mentality of, hey, we want to be aggressive in free agency, that's fine. But I think he set himself up for unnecessary criticism when he used that phrase. And again, I know I keep going back to this. I probably sound like a broken record. But when you're a rookie head coach, like, there's going to be things like that that happen. It's, does he learn from that, right? So if he sits on the Greg Hill Show next February and says, hey, Greg, we're going to burn cash again. Like, I'm like, okay, then this is a problem, right? He didn't learn from it. But if he sits there next February on the Greg Hill Show and says, yeah, we're going to try to improve our team. We're going to be aggressive. You know, even put his own spin on. We're going to be aggressive. We're going to try to get some. Then I'm like, okay, he learned from it. Like, that's what you want, right? If you make a mistake like that, does the guy learn from it?
See, I would think next year I would see if I can get Gerard Mayo to eat fried ranch dressing.
Oh, I'm glad I wasn't here for that. I would not want to eat that at all. That sounded gross. I was actually...
Talk about regression for Riggy right there.
I don't know. Was that on Friday? They did.
I don't know. I'd still be throwing up from that.
I was driving somewhere, and I was like... I don't even remember where I was driving. I just heard. I'm like, oh, man, that is just... That just sounds...
But disgusting is usually the way you want to go about it when in terms of doing this. You want to... People remember the food that's disgusting that gets talked about more than, oh, you know, that salad was really good. I'm like, man, nobody cares about a good salad. Tell me about the nasty fried ranch.
Tell you that.
It's true.
Yeah, exactly. There you go. Everybody wants the disgusting cells. So college football kicked off, well, really 2 weeks ago, but this is anything that's called week zero and your school's playing in week zero. How intimidating? Like, how bad is that?
That's such a stupid thing. Just call kickoff weekend or something.
Yeah, kickoff. Thank you. Week zero.
Like, what is that?
It's supposed to be, I guess, like patient zero, something like that. It's like urgency.
That's what I want. First game of college football, let's compare it to like an epidemic. Yeah, that's what I want.
Or it should be called the gambling degenerate kickoff weekend.
Yeah, like, that's really what it is.
I'm going to bet on LaSalle has a football team and I can bet on it. It's outside the state.
There's Georgia Tech Florida State game and then three games with teams no one's ever heard of.
Right.
No disrespect to those teams. I'm just saying fans have never heard of them.
And this is why I can understand how New England really hasn't grasped upon college football, at least over the last 20 years, right? You go back to the Flutie years and to the Notre Dame.
2007 was probably the last time college football was
big. And Matt Ryan was kind of an anomaly.
It was Matt Ryan.
He shows up, he gets the notoriety, he's in the conversation, and then the ACC becomes a bad football conference. I think it can kind of change because of two things. One, gambling in Massachusetts, which means you can bet on other teams outside of Massachusetts, so you can't take Amherst and the points here. But
why would you?
Right, exactly. But that's one side, and you have a name in Bill O'Brien overseeing the program. When the last time he stepped into college football as a head coach, he really did a great mental number for the positive to turn Penn State around. Remember, he got to Penn State. Yep. And to reaffirm who the kids were, he put their last names on their jerseys so that way they could be recognized and not just the number while all those things were going on. Now, if Bill is able to convince them to lower, I don't know, the SAT score down from 1,800, you know, you know, to get in to play football, like, son.
KJ.
Yes.
KJ, there is a reason, a legitimate reason to be excited about Boston College football this year. We have an electric quarterback, a very deep running back group,
and an electric
a very deep wide receiver room as well. Our offense is very, it's going to be very dynamic, and Bill O'Brien can only improve that, KJ. So, I mean, you know, I guess people in New England haven't been very excited about college football for the past 10, 15 years, but there is a legitimate reason to be excited about Boston College football.
Yeah, Bill O'Brien.
Yeah.
Right?
And
it's
Bill O'Brien. And I think if you look at the ACC as well, okay.
It's horrible.
Clemson just got beat down by Georgia 34-3, which a lot of people, we had a caller yesterday, KJ, who was like, I really enjoyed on my sunny Saturday seeing Dabo Sweeney get beat down. That was pretty good.
Yeah, but Dabo Sweeney's the guy who says, you know, I kind of don't want to integrate the portal guys into my team. We're just going to be a recruits only team.
So Clemson is, look, they're still a top 25 team in the country, but they're not the elite powerhouse they used to be. Then you look at Florida State. They just lost to Georgia Tech in Ireland. I think they're going to take a little step back. Then you look at Miami. They beat down Florida yesterday. I think they're really good.
It was impressive, yeah.
But I don't think they're a top 5 or 6 team in the country. So if you look at the ACC, I'm not really saying this year, KJ, but I could see BC challenging to win the ACC in 2 or 3 years with Bill O'Brien, and no. I think that's an excitment level that has not been the case, I think, since what, 2007?
Oh, John, you're too conservative. This game goes down to the last 4 minutes against Florida State in Tallahassee. I mean, the ACC
is definitely possible.
Bad.
Whereas last year, KJ, I would have said you were crazy if you said that about a Florida State BC.
Well, yeah, I would have said
BC almost did beat Florida State last season, exactly. But it was at home.
And my horseshoe almost hit the pole, right? So,
but last year, going into the game, you looked at Florida State and you're like, all right, BC's not on that level. BC competes with them, which is great. But now you actually go into the game saying BC can hang with these guys. And I think the good thing about Bill O'Brien.
They cover the spread for sure.
Bill O'Brien is going to want to be at BC. Like, I don't see him leaving in 2 or 3 years to be an NFL head coach somewhere. I'm not saying he never would, but I think he's going to be there for several years as the head coach of BC. And you mentioned Penn State, KJ. That was a program that had no scholarship or much fewer scholarships. They had a scandal.
They were worse than BC is.
He had them respectable, which I think was a major accomplishment considering that situation he walked into.
I talked to Bill O'Brien, and he 100% is on the same page with you, Lions. He loves Boston College. He loves the culture here, and he just, you know, he wants to be
a
part of it.
He's a New England guy. Yeah.
Here's the macro. The ACC is so bad that in 3 years, Boston College can be the top team, at least in its division in the ACC.
Yeah,
that's how bad the ACC is.
It's reasonable, yeah.
The thing is, it isn't so much turning around a bad program, it's just turning around a program in a bad conference. And then the way this thing is set up, look, Notre Dame is always going to be the team. Think about it. Last night they were saying, all Notre Dame has had to do is win this Texas A&M game, and they're in the playoff. Why? Because they're not beholden to any conference, and Notre Dame has always been, at the start of the season, it's such a rig, right? They're telling you who they would like to see in the college football playoff. It's up to them to lose that number. So this year, what Notre Dame starts off at 7?
Yeah. They'll probably be top five after this weekend.
Right. But so it puts them in the top 8. So they're saying, hey, we would want to see Notre Dame in there if the season ended today. Last year, where did you usually put Notre Dame? About 5 or 6, right? To start the season, because you'd want to see them towards the end of the season. I think it's just a time going by, but if you constantly got this going on with Notre Dame, and if BC can turn around the program, which I think it could do within a season or two, now Notre Dame and BC becomes a real game again that has real legs and real implication, where you might even say Notre Dame might say, not that ACC school, we're not playing them this year. Because they get the kind of pick and choose, they got to play like 3 ACC games. So, look, I know we're deep into the woods, so, you know, gamble safe. Have fun. Take interest in college football. I mean, it's not the worst thing. It's kind of bad product. I've seen guys throwing wide open. I'm like, this is why I kind of miss the pro games. Like, guys get fired for this. This guy, if anything, like, he can't work out more because of the hours. You just have to deal with bad. I saw some bad throws yesterday.
Yeah, that Notre Dame game was tough to watch from an offensive perspective.
And yet, it was the best game that was highlighted as the feature game. Like, you know, the best game yesterday was Vanderbilt and Virginia Tech. That was the only one I was like, this has drama. This is interesting. And those two teams suck. All right, 617-779-7937. Text line 37937. KJ and Lyons next. We talk to the youngest, one of the youngest ever to make the PBA tour next season, Nate Purchase. He's up next here on WEEI. Thanks so much for hanging out. Time to trend with Jacob.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
KJ and Lyons on your Sunday, WEEI. Thank you so much for being here. 617-779-7937. Text line 37937. Still to come, keywords, the Woo Sox, 69 God, the Lions Den, and Shrewsbury, Mass. We're 2 minutes away from, John, I look forward to this interview with Nate Purchase. He is from Marlboro, Mass. He's 21. And he will be one of the youngest guys, maybe the youngest Pro Bowler from Mass, to be on the Pro Bowlers Association Tour. And John, we are definitely going to work trying to get some sponsorship. Maybe we get some KJ Lyons patches on his shirt. That's coming in 2 minutes. But think about some enterprising ideas. We're only here once a week, man.
I think he should wear KJ and Lions patches on his shirt.
Yeah, maybe just the whole shirt
in
as
fact,
he bowls.
I mean, think about all those Celtics post-game shows I did in the playoffs and you and I did together
right.
during their finals run. I mean, they should wear KJ and Lions patches
on their
jerseys.
We are sponsorship worthy.
Yeah.
We will talk to Nate here in 2 minutes. Man, this just came down. 900 workers across Boston. 900. Did it slip out right there for a second? I'm sorry. The union, United Here Local 26, have put 900 workers on strike, including room attendants, doormen, front desk agents, cooks, and kitchen staffs, and others from the Hilton Park Plaza, Hilton Logan Airport, Hilton Hampton Inn Boston Seaport, and Fairmont Copley Plaza Hotels. Happy Labor Day weekend!
Yep.
Jeez! 900!
So maybe I can actually
how do you check in?
So maybe now I can afford to book one of those rooms. I'm gonna go on the website later.
Wait, we're gonna pull a Chase night. Chase Bank glitch with the with the hotel at Seaport.
You just walk right in.
I'm sorry. You just pull one of those glitches, yo, son.
Tell my family, hey, I booked a nice vacation for us.
Just activating your own cards, you know. So keep an eye out for that. 900 hotel workers in Boston on strike. This morning. So, all right, I mentioned Nate Purchase is 21. He joins us from college. This is what's absolutely crazy. First, Nate, welcome to the show, and congratulations on becoming the youngest pro bowler from Massachusetts as you step into the PGA Tour next year.
Thank you very much. I really appreciate it.
So let me ask you this. So if you're 21 and you've gone pro, how long have you been at this bowling game thing, man?
Back in 2006, I fell in love with Wii Sports. My parents couldn't get me off the Wii, and I ultimately just went from there. They signed me up for youth leagues. It stuck with me, and, you know, I've just been here for 18 years chasing the dream.
So, Nate, I want to follow up on that. Essentially, you are one of, if not the youngest pro bowlers in the country, and it started with just playing Wii Sports at your house and kind of built from there?
Yeah, that is a true statement.
Okay, so you get from the Wii, so you get into these youth tournaments. Was there a place that you went to that you started to hone your craft?
It was AMF Town and Country. Now it's Bowlero Shrewsbury. I started bowling there. I bowled in the youth league, bowled there for about 15 years, and then it was off to college.
Wow, so this has been your thing. So here's what's funny, John, and now this is where we get with the fun part of the show, is there a girl that's been left behind or a love interest that's left behind that was just like, it's you and all that bowling stuff, and you never pay, and now that you're going pro, it's like, hey, big head.
Honestly, I'm just focused doing on my own thing. I mean, the girls will come, but right now it's just getting ready for next season.
So, Nate, you started with Wii, you started youth bowling, and you kind of grew from there. But at what point did you realize, okay, this is serious, I'm really good at this, I could be pro at this? Was there a moment or a particular year or something, an incident that you were like, hey, this isn't just something I like and I do for fun, I can be really good at this and I'm going to pursue it?
Honestly, I think back in 2020, 2021, I bowled in PBA Junior. I was the high qualifier in the whole nation. I was first in the Midwest and in the whole nation. So the top 10 bowlers, top two from five different regions, made it to the national tournament where I was on it. I ultimately finished second, but the top two made a TV show. So after making that TV show, I'm like, huh, I can really make this, you know, my life.
Oh,
and go
wow.
from there.
We're talking with Nate Purchase, Marlboro Mass's own. He's going to join the Pro Bowlers Association Tour next year. 21, got the exempt. So when I bowl, and the oils, one time I was on a date and slipped because my foot got, you know, this is like, you know, that's like I slipped because of the oils. But I bowl, like I say, I granny bowl. Like sometimes I go between the legs. But you're a two hand style guy. How new is that? And how does someone bowl with the two hands? Because that used to be the drunk guy at the bowling alley who's just taking two hands and tossing the ball. But now it's a style. How did you come into that style?
Actually, when I was younger, so I'm really short for my height. I'm only 5'5", but I couldn't pick up a ball when I was younger, so I adapted my own way of two-handed. I had a few coaches tell me no besides one. One coach basically stuck with me for two-handed my whole life. I'm going to give him a little shout-out. Thank you, Gerard Richardson, for that. And ultimately, back in 2009 when Jason Belmonte hit the lanes, it started to become more famous. Everyone wanted to do it, but I did it before it was famous, so I give myself a little more credit than most people.
So, Nate, I feel like a lot of folks listening, when they think about bowling, it's just something, you know, they do for fun and they show up and they just, you know, roll the ball out and just have a good time. But for you to prepare for an event that you're trying to win, I mean, what is the preparation? Is there strategy that goes into it? Is it just a bunch of practice reps? I mean, what does it take to go from, hey, having a good time bowling, to no, I'm preparing to try to win an event?
It's knowing your equipment more than anything else. Knowing that this ball hooks at this point. If I put something called surface, which makes it hook more or hook less, put that on the ball. It's just understanding your equipment more than anything else and preparing yourself mentally.
Nate Purchase, Marlboro Mass's own. Tell us what it was the feeling when you got that exemption and you knew that you were going not only going to the PBA Tour starting next year, but you're one of the youngest to ever do it at 21. What was that emotion like? And what did you bowl, by the way? I guess that's the other part.
Honestly, it felt like a dream come true. It was everything I worked for, all the hard work, all the blood, sweat, tears, everything that's happened, just it all paid through in that one moment right then and there.
And so, Nate, now that you've made it, what is kind of your next goal in mind? What is the next thing you want to achieve now that you've made it to this point?
Ultimately, I'd love to win one PBA title. That's the dream. That's everyone's dream. And if I could do that once, if I can do it multiple times, I would be a happy guy.
Yeah, but he's 21, John. Like, he could.
Well,
this,
and I want to follow
Tiger
up.
Woods on the show. So, yeah, go ahead.
Nate, on that, so you want to win a PBA title. I think, like, a lot of folks may know of the PBA, they may watch, you know, events of the PBA now and then, but what does it really take to win? Just explain to those that may not know, to win a PBA title.
It's a lot more than a lot of people think. You got to have a good mental game because everyone's going to mess up. You're going to mess up. It's going to be, hey, who can bounce back? Who can strike the most? Who can make their spares? Stay away from the splits. There's a lot to it that a lot of people don't understand, but I mean, it's a lot of hard work, and there's a little bit of luck to it.
All right, so Nate, because it sounds like you've lived, you've breathed, you've eaten bowling, we're going to roll three different balls because you got to be so in touch with the lane. You got to tell us, is it a strike, is it a spare, or is it a 7-10 split? Jacob, roll the first ball. Strike, spare, or 7-10 split?
Spare.
Jacob, is he right? Oh, wow.
Ooh.
Okay. Nice. Okay. Jacob, roll number two. Seven, 10 split or a strike?
7-10 split. It came up
Whoa.
A little light.
Oh,
yes.
Well, then the last one, let's go ahead and roll up, Jacob.
That's all 10 back. That's a strike.
Oh, yeah!
Yes! Yay!
Nate
Yay!
Purchase, Marlboro's own. Anybody you want to give a shout-out to before we let you go?
Honestly, I got to thank my parents, my family, everyone who has supported me through this long journey, everyone who's been there to help me. There's so many people to thank, and unfortunately, I can't get to them all. But thank you guys for giving me this opportunity to express bowling out.
Oh, absolutely. And best of luck to you on the PBA Tour. We'll be watching you, and we'll be negotiating through the station if we can get some patches on your shirt. That work?
Sounds good.
Nate Purchase, thank you so much. Man, thank you so much, and good Sunday
to you.
Thank
you, too. Guys.
All right. John, 21. We might have just had the Tiger Woods of bowling on this show.
So we just had a 21-year-old bowler on here. Last night, Alabama had a 17-year-old receiver who dominated the game. So it really makes me feel good about my life and how much I've accomplished, you know, in my years, KJ.
You're missing the point. We might have hit the financial lick.
Well, and you were not with me, but a few weeks ago, Scheimann, I think you were out that day. Scheimann and I had Frederick Richard, the U.S. gymnast from Stoughton, who won a bronze medal. He's only, I think he's 17 or 18, and he won a bronze medal. So there's actually a lot of really great young athletes in the New England area in a variety of sports. Because when we think of young athletes in New England, we're major sports stations, so we think of Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, Drake May.
Mostly pro stuff.
Right, those guys. But there's a lot of great young athletes in a bunch of different sports all over the New England region. Frankly, Cage, I think it's been really cool. Even Cooper Flagg, the number one basketball recruits from Maine, right? Like, there's been a lot of great young athletes all over New England in the past 5-6 years. It's been really cool to see.
But we've got someone who's 21 who's about to go on the PBA tour who can put KJ and Lions logo on his shirt.
He should.
And he's from Marlboro, Mass.
He should. I should ask Frederick Richard.
Well, but here's the thing. We'd have to get into because once you do gymnastics, there's no pro gymnastics. Then you're maybe I can get a role in a movie where I could do some flips and stuff like that and so forth. But this is a situation where you could see KJ and Lions on a shirt. You might have to turn away from a football game while you're watching. But you might see KJ and Lions on the back of a shirt and someone says, what's KJ and Lions?
Yeah. The PBA is interesting to me, too, because it's on ESPN, but they usually put it up against football, I feel in the fall. So
they do.
It's on a major network, but it's against football. I'm just curious, because I'm just...
change all of that.
I'm naive to this. Is that what's the revenue and how big is the PBA?
Do you think the revenue would be more than what our checks are here at WEEI?
If we get that jersey patch, it would be.
It would sell, and he's thinking, I'm saying, you get the Tiger Woods of PBA. He's going up against guys who are probably 10, 15 years older than him.
Oh, I would say, because I feel like whenever I watch a PBA match, they're all 30 to 40 years old.
they all look like, what's the golfer's name, the Walrus they used to call him? I can't remember his name.
Daly, right?
No, not John Daly. Well, some of them do look like John Daly. Yeah. But this is, think about it. He just mentioned that he is probably one of the first guys to get to this level with the two-hand technique. We could have KJ and Lions, Nate Purchase sponsored exhibitions, right? And just 2% off of those. We wouldn't have to work anymore. For example, my daughter is about to get engaged to a guy who was a left tackle that her high school team won three championships.
How do you know she's about to get engaged?
She went wedding shopping yesterday. Okay, she tried on a dress yesterday. Right. Usually gets away. That's a giveaway. Okay. So he was the left tackle of a team that won three state championships. This is how good the team was. You know who was on the team his freshman year? Keenan Allen. So there's pretty good guy. So I'm thinking hey, this guy's a left tackle. I could be going to games for the next 18 years. You know what I mean? Love on this guy. Well, the guy didn't stop playing football. Do I tell her to not? No, no. So I've missed that boat, John. This could be the boat that's missed in my life, but we could become PGA Tour sponsor guys.
I
should let it go, right?
No, you know what? I think PBA. A KJ and Lions patch on his shirt.
I'm trying to make us some money, man.
And I will appreciate any of that. Yeah. You know what? You should be an advocate for those guys that went on strike at the hotels.
No, I should just be in one of those rooms.
Yeah, me too.
And you know the thing is? I'm hitting the top floor button. I don't know about you, because nobody checking key cards, nobody at the front desk, no hotel service. I can go get my own food. I can make my own bed. Yeah. Just show me the machine where I just swipe the card and it pick the room. The one that starts with penthouse. That's the room I want. That's the suite I want.
The presidential suite.
Yes, exactly. The presidential suite overlooking the water. That's what I want right there. Or one of the other. They have three others. But breaking news. Yeah. See, that's the great thing about KJ Lyons. Yes, it's a sports talk show, but it talks about life. Tell me you would not go in there and just grab a key card and then swipe it for the type four.
Yeah. Well, you got to get the presidential suite, though. You got to get the right card.
You got to get... Well, no, it's the right machine. It's
no, but
all
I feel like the presidential suite, there's probably a separate card and a separate draw, to prevent even that from happening. You got to really...
I'm thinking it's
that.
Just one machine that activates the room. You just type it in. I guess it would be illegal to then go on the other side of the, and type something in. Then you would need access and stuff like that. But
yeah, it might be stealing, but you'd get a good night's sleep. So whatever.
So if you're just joining us, the breaking news is that 900 hotel employees at four hotels in Boston have gone on strike. Boston, the Hilton Seaport, the Hilton Logan is another one. Copley is another one. All tied to Hilton, looks like. So
hoping those folks in the Seaport will be all right.
Well, dinner just got a little more expensive next door.
Chaos in the Seaport.
Yeah.
I guess Greg's friends that he's all spending money to come see him and eat these fried ranch things for the weekend. I mean, I guess they've got to stay at his place now.
Right? Hey, it's Greg.
Jalen Brown's gonna have to use some of that Supermax money to order takeout.
All your friends staying and all your rich friends staying down in Seaport
there too.
They got issues. They probably got some housing issues going
on.
Actually,
Peyton Pritchard's new wife, I think she's like a social media influencer or something. So maybe she can help their cause.
I've never heard. What are those? I'm kidding.
That's what we are. Right?
It's KJ Lives.
Isn't that what Jacob Lastner is?
We are a sports talk show first, lifestyle entertainment show second, right? The Lions Den next, where John says throw them to the Lions or they will proceed to be successful. Lions Den next on WEEI. Good Sunday to you.
And he got it!
I'm dedicating this one right here to our own John Lyons. He's a rebel and a runner. WEEI, good Sunday to you. 617-779-7937. Text line 37937. Here's the headline. A hard-running John Lyons comes in 69th. John, congratulations on your second 5K. You came in 69th.
Yeah, so the way it works is there was
there was
600 people running. So my overall place was 244th, but they split it up by division, like, you know, men 20 to 29, you know, whatever. So in my division, I came in 69th.
You're 69 God, huh?
You know what? Many people have said.
617-779-7937. Text line 37937. We'll get to your text messages in a minute. We still have Lions Den. That's coming in 2 minutes. Let's go to Donnie in New Hampshire. Donnie, thank you so much for calling WEEI and the Lions Den. I mean, KJ Lions. Good Sunday to you. I'm sorry.
you ran hard the other day. That's good.
Yes.
So let me give you an example. So I'm the guy who came in the other day with the food truck to feed Greg Hill. And everybody knows the way to Greg Hill.
Donnie, can I ask you a question? Are you the guy that is the voice of the Coleman Electric commercials?
Coleman, it's electric.
Yes.
We'll be there quicker.
When you came in to feed Greg Hill, I heard you in the background, and I'm like, that's the same guy. I was like, that's the same guy. That's the Coleman Electric guy. That's the guy.
So you literally fried the ranch. Did you do it with electricity, or did you go Nikola Tesla on the food, or did you put it in the oven?
So we went in there because Coleman was sending the truck to feed the morning show. And then they were talking about these ranch balls from the Minnesota State Fair. So
I'm sorry, Greg, I'm a 10-year-old.
So we got a deep fryer in the back parking lot down there by you guys. And we're like, hey, if you want us to try and make these, you can. So I have to borrow Greg's Jeep to go over to Stop and Shop to get all the ingredients. So we go on the Google machine and try to figure out how to make these things. We don't even know if we made them right, but we had to go over to Stop and Shop.
Oh.
And the funniest part was trying to drive Greg's electric Jeep. And I didn't even realize the thing was that. I almost went through the windshield. And have you ever driven an electric Jeep?
I have not.
Not Greg's.
No,
I've never driven an electric car.
No, I haven't.
So I'm in Stop and Shop. I almost get in two car accidents trying to get out of this thing. And we get back. So
Donnie, let me ask you.
In the food truck in the oil.
So you made these yourself?
Right, but we didn't know how to make them.
Okay, so that's my next
question. 15 minutes before with Google.
Okay, so you Googled how to make these and nearly poisoned the staff here at WEEI.
Well, I got to tell you, I had one for once. You put a little Mike's honey on those babies; they tasted pretty good. Courtney liked them because she's a crab ragoon person. I'm a huge Chinese food guy. You know, I love Chinese. I eat Chinese every day of the week almost. So, and grandson's in the backseat of the car. So Courtney liked it because it's mixed with yeah, I know. I got kids all over the place, guy, trust me. So they tasted more like crab ragoon when we had them. So I don't know if that's how they taste in the Minnesota State Fair, but it was Planko, a lot of cream cheese, ranch dressing, ranch powder, egg wash, and salt and pepper, and you roll it in a ball and you drop it in a deep fryer for 30 seconds. They Donnie, tasted good when you first tasted them, but then when it sat in your jowls, they tasted terrible.
Donnie, thank you so much for making those fried ranch balls for the Greg Hill Show.
Thank you for those Coleman Electric commercials. Those are great.
Well, thanks you. Thank you for the ad schedule, really. That's what we're really saying. Donnie, Coleman, thank you so much. Yeah, Coleman.
No,
right.
No problem.
Right. Thank you so much. So,
have
look,
a great day, guys.
You too. Look, he gave up the recipe, and I think that's key, right? Because most people, like, hey, they wouldn't give up the recipe. Some people think they're nice. I personally think the effort you put into it, if it takes 15 minutes before, it probably is nasty. You know, that.
See, Donnie's a man of the people. Not
I don't
only
eat,
does he,
I don't eat listener food. Like, that's something like, he's, I mean, play Misty for me and play. I don't eat listener food because. Have the chocolate cake. I'm your favorite listener. Next
Can
thing you know,
a round of applause for the food this morning.
Yeah, exactly. We have had food. We have had John winning 5Ks, and now we've got your text messages here on KJ Lines. This is a show. This isn't like your weekend show. This is a show. Jacob, what do you have on the text line? 37937.
Okay, here's what I have on the text line. Let's see. I bowl in a league in Vermont, and a backwards ball is a one-handed backwards hook.
I don't even know what that means.
Me neither.
I was thinking, I give him credit.
This
I have
to
no
do with John finishing 69th in the race, because if that's the case, we have to be very careful how we step. Next text.
This guy says he loves the Wii Sports bowling success story.
I know. That's really who should be sponsoring Nate. I mean, the guy Wii Bowling is the reason he's in the PBA.
That's crazy, because how many years have I played Madden? Never has there been a chance for me to actually play for one of those NFL teams. But
yeah, what the
Nate
hell?
Purchase,
you know? I mean, I played
interview.
NBA 2K, and I can't be on the Celtics. Like, come
right.
on.
Nate Purchase, 21, for Marble Mass. Starts
I could hit a
by playing
shot
Wii.
Like Peyton Pritchard.
Yeah, well, yeah, do it again.
I could do
right?
that.
Last text, and then the Lions did.
Syracuse might actually win the ACC, which is not praise for the ACC.
Oh,
funny story about Syracuse. So my older brother, one of my older brothers lives in Syracuse. He's a season ticket holder there, and they play BC in November. So I think he and I are actually going to go to the game. And I was kind of thinking to myself, when we go to the game, could one of those two teams, either BC or Syracuse, be in the running for the ACC championship game? Because it's going to be November by then. Like, I think it's in the realm of possibility.
Yeah, that's what's absolutely crazy. We're sitting here talking about the importance of a Syracuse-BC game in the structure of the ACC where...
And usually by that time, KJ, you know it. You and I have those Saturday shows in the fall. We might, you know, after those BC post games.
Okay, gotcha. Well, maybe. We'll see.
Yeah.
Look, Florida State already has a loss, and they're the highest-ranked ACC team, and they've already got a loss.
Yeah, and Clemson has a loss.
Clemson has a loss. Second highest one, right? So you're already talking about in week one... Two best ACC teams have lost. Like there's, that's why I say it's
an
open.
Bad losses too, by the way. Like Florida State loses to an unranked team, and then Clemson gets their brains beat in by Georgia.
Right.
And Virginia Tech too. They lost.
Virginia Tech lost to Vanderbilt. That's a good point.
People
too.
Thought right. Virginia Tech was going to be good.
That's how bad the ACC is when you think that Virginia Tech's going to be good. This is why Bill O'Brien, I think, took the perfect job at the perfect situation, almost at the perfect time, because the Patriots are not going to be front page. Oh, my God, they're burning up, you know, well, they're burning up some fires for sure in different ways. But
Not cash.
Oh, very good. Reach us at any time, 617-779-7937, text line 37937. You miss any of the show, the Odyssey app is free. Just download it to your phone at the Apple Store, the Google Play Store, and then type in WEEI. It brings you right there, and then you could save it to your favorite. So every time you come back, you can go back and listen to past shows. You can listen to them chapter by chapter. Remember, the Odyssey app is free. But no Lions or Christians were heard in the feature that we're about to play. Hit it, Jacob!
See the one about lions?
Yeah, loose to this area.
King of the jungle.
All right, John, show mercy or just put the two thumbs down if you need to. First, will Jacoby Brissett roar as the Patriots starting quarterback?
It's going to be a meow, and it's going to last, I think, about a month. But that's okay. Again, I think it's the best thing for the team. I think it's going to be a meow.
All right. Will BC roar against FSU Monday night and win?
So I think FSU wins this game, but I think it's, like you said earlier, a lot closer than people think it's going to be. So it's not really a roar, maybe a lowercase roar, if that, but they're not going to win, but they're going to keep it close.
Lowercase roar. I don't know if we have a lowercase roar here. Maybe we can work on that. Yeah. And finally, LSU, USC tonight. Which one will roar?
Well, if you remember, KJ, a year ago this weekend, Florida State smoked LSU in a week one primetime matchup. I think LSU changed the script and they beat USC to, tonight. Yeah.
And that is the Lion's Den, where some feelings were hurt, but that's okay, and nobody was bloodied. But next hour, we talk about how Red Sox fans need to send a thank you card to Minnesota. Explain that next here on WEEI, Hour 3 of KJ and Lions. Good morning.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.